Hey, BA fam, this episode is sponsored by State Farm. Are you a small business owner looking for insurance that fits your needs and budget? Look no further than State Farm. State Farm agents are not just insurance providers, they're also small business owners who live and work right here in your community. They understand the unique challenges of running and protecting a small business. When it comes to small business insurance, State Farm knows what it takes. Create a plan that fits your needs and your budget. State Farm agents are ready to help you choose personalized policies that truly understand your business. Insure your small business with a fellow small business owner. Talk to a State Farm agent today and get started on personalized small business insurance that fits your needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
And we're back. So this is Brown Ambition, right? We're trying to be more mature and actually name the podcast before we like start talking.
Right. This is Brown Ambition. Welcome. We will be your hosts today and every day.
All right. I am Tiffany.
And this is Mandy.
So we have a lot to talk about. I feel like we should start with the good.
I could use some good news. What do you have?
Well, no, I just came back from Essence Fest, and it was amazing.
Everybody was at Essence Fest, but me. I feel like I had severe FOMO.
It was honestly like
severe.
It was just, I don't know, all good black things. Like, everything from, like, the best food, OMG. Like, ooh, I just love my people and some food. We know how to throw down. I was like, dang, New Orleans, honestly. 10 pounds, I guess.
I love New Orleans.
And what I love about people...
Isn't there every year?
Yeah, it's there every year.
Okay, good. Because why be anywhere else?
Exactly. And there's just so much soul in the city. Because what I really love about New Orleans and the people there is that, like, they take so much pride, especially in their food. I mean, you can't ask anybody where to eat without getting, like, 10 suggestions yeah. for specific things. They're like, oh, for oysters, you need to go here. But if you want fried chicken, you need to go here. But if you want... And so the food was amazing. The empowerment sessions were awesome. The convention center, I was like, I've never seen, like, literally some companies, it's like they tore down a building and rebuilt it in the convention center. Like they call them, I guess, activations, like their booths. Like, I can't even call it a booth. I feel like to call them booths would be like disrespectful.
Can you just real quick, just for me and everybody else, just what is Essence Fest in like a nutshell?
So Essence Fest is a music festival and a mixture of like empowerment and entertainment. So half of it is like this awesome music festival that's three nights and all these big acts. And then the other half are all these empowerment like workshops and stuff. It's specifically geared toward women of color.
Right.
And it is awesome because you have like every brand that has anything to sell toward women of color that are there. And honestly, it's just awesomeness. It's just like one big party for 3 days or 4 days, three nights.
Yeah, I always thought it was music. But then after like knowing people like you that have been going there, I thought, what is it, a conference? Is it like soul sessions? What's happening? And I saw this year seemed like, I don't know if I've just followed more people who were going this year, but I feel like this year was bigger than any other year in the past.
Yeah, they had a lot of news. So this is the first year they did like Money and Power like that. They had like a special stage for it. Yeah. So that was really cool because they're starting to understand that like we need to talk about personal finance and entrepreneurship and ways to make money. So that was new.
Some of our friends, Patrice Washington, yes. has been on the podcast.
She was there. Tanya of MyFab Finance, Marsha of the Finance Bar. So it was like squad was so in the building.
Lynette Calfon. Wasn't Lynette there?
Yes. And I totally missed her. I was like, Lynette, why are we disconnecting? Yes. Lynette was there killing it as usual. She's a regular at Essence, honestly.
Right. Yeah, she should be.
Right. Exactly. She's like the fairy godmother of all that we do.
And if you're new to the show, you should definitely go back and check out our interviews with Lynette, with Patrice mm-hmm. on the podcast. We got to have Tanya and Marsha on someday.
We do. I was thinking that. When I just said their names. So I was really fortunate in that. So for the last 3 years, I've been wanting to speak at Essence Fest. And my publicist, Drina, has been like pitching me, but it just has not been a fit. And then this year, Essence reached out to her. They were like, you know, I think we'd like to have Tiffany this year. You think she'd be interested? Drina's like, I can speak for both of us. Hell yeah.
I don't know. Let me check my schedule. Yes.
Exactly. I'm like, oh, the birth of a baby. Sorry, I'll be Essence. No. And so it was awesome because one, I got to do a keynote at on the Money and Power stage. And then Prudential hired me to do a panel and like two panels. And then Ford came through and hired me to do a panel. So it just was awesome and awesome. I spoke every day. And so it was great to see the different crowds and to like speak to kind of different audiences every day. So I went from like no Essence to like Essence overload. And my sisters came, which was so fun.
Oh, that's right. That's cool.
Yeah, it was because Essence gives you like, you know, like passes to like the concerts and this and that. So it was just fun to be able to like, here's VIP for you. Here's a little VIP for you. So
spreading the wealth.
Yeah, it was just awesome. Honestly, it was like, is this how the other half lives? Because, you know, I'm just a regular girl. So usually when I go to a concert, I'm in the nosebleed just like everybody else. So to get like floor tickets and like they're like escorting you to the stage, you're like, wait. The first day, I didn't even know how to use a VIP ticket. I'm just so used to being like, you know, whatever, enjoying like regular everyday life at a conference. And someone was like, why are you in front? You know, you can go backstage or you can go here. And I'm like, I can?
Get the snacks.
I know, right? You know, that's the first thing I did. I don't even drink. But I was like, I'll take a Shirley Temple, which is really just soda and like red syrup.
How many goodies ended up in your bag? Tell the truth.
Honestly, we left half of them for like the woman that like took care of our room. Because I was just like, I just don't need any more things. Yes. And because a lot of it didn't really apply to me. So it was like hair stuff that didn't apply to my kind of hair. And so, yeah. So, but just... honestly, the biggest and best part of Essence was Oprah, Lady O, for the first time spoke at Essence Fest. And I got floor tickets 3 rows away. I could have given her a high five.
Oh, my God. What did she smell like?
Oh, she just was like, I could just see. I was like, this is why. Like, there was a light that shone on Oprah. And she just said exactly what I think we all needed to hear, which is that to make sure that you are actually living what your purpose is, what your passion is, and not what someone has picked out for you. And when you do that, you'll be amazed at the doors that open. Like, that was her core messaging.
Mm. Meanwhile, I was strung up on a on a light pole at a ropes course in the mountains all weekend.
I saw the pictures. Was it glamping? Was it really glamping, or did you really just camp?
It was so far removed from camping. It was like we rented this beautiful ski chalet, like a little cottage that looked like legitimately looked like a ginger cake house. Like, I could have put icing on it and taken a bite. It was so adorable, and it was 10 of my friends, and we do it every year. But yeah, one of my friends had a hookup. One of his friends owns a house, and it's on Airbnb for like $200-something a night. But she gave it to us half off, so it ended up being like the whole weekend altogether. I think between 10 people, it was $200 each.
Awesome.
Which is food, because we always cook together. We go maybe we make one big Walmart trip, and then we each take a night. So there were happened to be couples, so each couple took a night to cook.
Oh.
And we split it up, and it was nice. But so on Saturday, we always try to do one crazy excursion, and we never ever plan it beforehand because we're just not. It's like a miracle that we even get together at the house, so we don't really. We're bad at planning, so it's always something. And we went back and forth. Are we gonna go? There's a lot to do in the Poconos. Are we gonna go to a water park? Are we gonna go roller coastering? Or like whatever? And finally, my friends found this adventure course, which was it's called Treetop Adventures, and it's like. I thought in my head, I was like, oh, that'd be neat. And then when we got there, I was like, oh, that'll be 5 courses that take nearly 5 hours to complete. And you are doing the most ridiculous things like jumping off of like heights as high as like 3 telephone poles. You're climbing trees. You're Tarzan roping onto nets and like – you're swinging from swing to swing. And it was the most challenging thing I've ever done. All of us, like halfway through, we were like, what have we done?
Who made this choice?
Who, what, why? It was only $50 each. And I just looked at my friend Brian because he was pushing hard for the water park. He's like a big kid. And I was like, Brian, I'm so sorry.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
And you could hear the screams of joy from the water park because it's in the same
oh, no.
like the same area.
amazing.
Yeah, sounds great. Yeah.
No, but you guys look like you had fun. I saw pictures.
It was really fun. And, you know, they get me to do crazy stuff every year. Oh, I didn't even mention that morning we had the bright idea to do a 5K run
mm-hmm. together. Oh, my gosh.
Because half of the group is training for the New York City Triathlon.
Okay.
And I was like, sure, I've done a half marathon over a year ago. So we did a 5K that morning and then the 5-hour.
Wow. Needless
to say, on actual 4th of July, we did not go anywhere. We did not do anything. We saw not one firework. Just sat around the house. And
I can imagine your body was like, so we're just going to relax right now.
So a whole different world from the glamour of Oprah.
I know.
And your face on billboards.
Honestly, I have not even processed. I need to like go to the park and like lay and look at the sky and just like let it soak in like that this amazing weekend actually happened in real life. Like
gratitude.
Yeah, honestly, I just need to, it's been hard because I got back and it's been busy. And then like all the foolishness with like, you know, the killing started and I just.
Oh, we're here now. Okay.
Yeah.
It's been, yeah. You know, I actually got into the killings, obviously. Well, as of yesterday, it was just one. And then last night there was another two more black men senselessly, violently killed. And I don't know what to say. I texted a couple of my friends. We have a group text going, and I texted something, you know, kind of joking just to sort of break the tension in the group text. And then my friend was like, chewed me out a little bit. She's like, I can't believe you're joking at a time like this. And we had to like, we were texting back and forth, and I could tell she was lashing out, but she was, you know, frustrated and angry. And yeah. I could just feel her stress. And I was like, you know, I feel like you have to sort of take a step away and take care of your mental health a little bit when all this stuff happens. And it's hard to do when you feel like you want to talk about it, but it's so painful and you kind of just talk yourself in circles and don't know what to do.
Yeah. It just, I don't know, like I didn't even watch, like, of course, you know, like little clips I've seen little clips, but not kind of purposefully as they like came across my timeline on social media, but I'm like, I don't want to watch the video of them murdering. Like, you know, I did see the video of the press conference. Ooh, my bad. I did see the video of the press conference where like the first gentleman, Mr. Sterling, right? Is that his last name?
I know his first name is Alton because that's my dad's first name.
So I did see the video where his son at the press conference just like, and rightfully so, obviously, breaks down.
Yeah.
And that was like, oh my gosh. Because what do you even, what do you even say?
I mean, if that were my dad, and you know, my dad, I've always wanted to have this conversation with him and I haven't yet, but my dad is like, and I mean, you probably relate to, my dad's dark skinned. He's 6'1", 6'2". He's not a small man, especially so he had gastric bypass surgery. And before that, he was like close to 400 pounds. So he's tall, he's big, you know, and he drives around Atlanta all the time. And I should ask him, like, it's a miracle. He's never been pulled over for anything. All he says is like his driving is perfect, so he would never get pulled over. But one of the things I did notice about my dad, especially over the last few years when everyone has sort of been hyper-vigilant of like violence, police violence against black men and black women, is how nice he is to everybody. How when he walks in a room, the first thing he does is talk to everybody. Hey, how you doing? How you doing, ma'am? How you doing, sir?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like when he's doing that, it's almost a survival thing. It's like, I'm a human. I'm a person. I'm not here to hurt you. Don't be intimidated by me. I'm a nice guy.
My friend Mark does that. He said, and consciously so, because Mark, same thing. It's dark skin, 6'1", 6'2", 2-something, big guy. You know, not huge, but like, you know, so he says, honestly, Tiffany, that's one of the things that my dad taught me, is that like when you enter a room or situation, to make yourself known as friendly, which is so crazy. I don't think about that.
Hell no. We have the ability to, or I have the ability to, you know, be rude or ignore people or just walk in and not, you know, just be to myself and not have to think about that kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, I've been told I have resting bitch face. I'm like, I'm sure I do, because my natural face is like, you know, like, of course I'm a happy person, but if I'm not purposefully smiling, it's just kind of like, whatever. Yeah. And so to not, and I don't think about it, but like, I can remember distinctly, like when Superman had had the, he had aneurysm surgery, and he was supposed to have aneurysm surgery, and he had to just get a note from his doctor saying, I'm legitimately out of work because I have this life threatening thing in my head. And the doctor wasn't there. It was like, he was on vacation, and he had like some junior doctor there who like apparently was not blessed with common sense. So I'm telling her, like, okay, you know, here's the note from the hospital. We just need a note, but the hospital can't give us extended time or whatever. You have to just write a note saying, yeah, he's not just goofing off. You know, he just might die. So he can't come to work for a few days until after the surgery. Then after the surgery, they give you some other special note. So anyway, we're in there, and he's like, the woman was just being so difficult. And Jarrell looked like, Superman looked like he wanted to pass out because he was in so much pain. And I'm just like, so I'm talking to her, and like, I'm getting sassy, and that's not normally my nature, but by then I'm frustrated because I'm advocating for him. I'm like, I'm not understand, like, sure, if you understand what I'm saying. I'm not, like, we're not 16 saying, hey, can you write me a note so I don't have to go to school? Like, he has an aneurysm. That's like life or death. Can we just have a note saying that he doesn't have to go to work tomorrow so we can go see the neurologist? I don't understand what's so difficult about that. And so he got up, I guess, to confront her too, and I took a look at him. And I thought to myself, like, Superman is 6'6", like, super chocolate. He's not big as far as, like, wide and, like, you know, because he's a little bit on the slim side. But he looks like, okay. And I just looked, and I saw her face, and I said, go sit down. Because she and I can get sassy together. Because I could see her tense up, like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. Like, when I was getting sassy with her, she was just like, whatever. But I could see her look like, oh, my God, it's about to be a problem. And I thought to myself, wow. He couldn't even legitimately, like, advocate for himself and express frustration without it being, like, a true problem. I mean, eventually she gave us, like, you know, the note. But that's because, you know, just me just kind of, like, you know, just laying into her. But I just thought to myself, dang, if I wasn't here, what would he do? They probably would have called the police, escorted him out, you know? It's just so frustrating because it just... And, you know, I was just thinking to myself, like, you know, because I grew up in a white neighborhood. And, you know, most of my friends on Facebook are fairly silent. Like, my white friends are fairly silent. And, you know, because everybody would love to tell you that, like, oh, things are better. I don't know why people complain. But I think to myself, like, okay, if things are better, is that a big deal? Would you like to trade and be black? Meaning you could keep the same intellect, keep the same job, keep the same family. But you're just black and you get to live the black experience in America. Like, if things are, if you know, like, nobody who would say. Exactly. Who would want to change? Because, you know, you wouldn't want to. So knowing that, don't pretend like it's not anything, you know, just because, you know, you wouldn't want to trade. And I'm not saying you'd have to, like, give up your lifestyle. None of that. You could keep the same lifestyle, but you would just have to live the black experience. You wouldn't want to because you know something's not right. And to pretend that it's otherwise, to me, it's criminal. And it's just so frustrating because I just see too much. And you know, as a woman, I don't get nearly as much as like what men get. And I just, it makes me afraid. Like, what if me and Superman have a son? Then what?
That's, you know, I've read interviews from parents and how they, and there is a good article, I think, by Nicole Hannah-Jones in the Times about how she talks about, maybe I'm getting the writer wrong, but yeah, about how you talk to your son and your child. But, you know, the two men who passed away, so Alton Sterling was the first and then Philando Castile, I was reading an interview with his mom that she gave to CNN, and she's like, I know my son, I've warned him about this. He knows not to talk back to police. We have a whole system of how we cooperate. And even that wasn't enough. You know, he didn't do anything wrong. And at that point, you just, it's like, what, you know?
Yeah, because that's the scary
part. There's only so much you can do.
Because it's like your youth won't save you. Tamir Rice was 12 years old playing in the park by himself.
A baby.
I mean, your education won't save you, right? Your sex won't save you. Being a woman, look at Sandra Bland. Like, it's like your all the things they tell you, your behavior is not going to save you. Remember the gentleman that was actually in Walmart buying a firearm like that actually is sold at Walmart, and the police came up on him and killed him. I just don't even. So for people who are like, well, if only. So what happens when someone shoots you in the back? What could I have done differently? And like, nothing. Just even, exactly. And that's the part that's scary, is that you can make excuse after excuse after excuse. But if that young man who shot up the police, there was, I forget his name, that he shot up the movie theater during like the Batman premiere, shot and killed people while wearing a costume, can be escorted out and make it alive into the car and into the precinct. Like, that's just crazy to me. You don't see that? That other young man who raped a woman behind in a dumpster, and it's only because like these two young men happen to walk by and throw him off of her and hold him down for the police to come, and they don't want to put him in jail because it would affect his future. Like, what kind of world do you live in where you look at that and you don't think to yourself, something's not right? You know? Like, it's just, that's why I just said I had a sad nap today, because it's just when I'm so exhausted that I can't even stay up, because it's like, well, what do you do? Does it take for people to riot? Does it take for people to start burning things down? Is that what?
God, I hope not. We've seen that already. It didn't help in Freddie Gray's case.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, what?
Baltimore. That didn't help. Eric Garner didn't help. Doesn't help. Nothing helps. You know, the most you can do is contact your local representative and tell them it's not okay. Hold them accountable. That's the most we can do. That's probably the most effective thing you do. Because when their job's on the line, when they may not get reelected because enough of their constituents are outraged, you know, I think that's the only thing you can do, really. And I feel like that's what so many young people don't do, unfortunately. And very unfortunately, because that's one thing that could have some impact.
Maybe because people don't feel like that's going to make an impact, because it's like, you know, you have lobbyists, you've got corporations with money. It doesn't seem like your voice would be heard, even if you're like, well, you're not going to be elected, because everybody has so many interests that they have to cater to. And it's like, when does your interest, you know, finally get looked at, you know?
But this isn't like the gun debate where there's clear for-profit businesses on the other side of this and trade associations like the NRA fighting against this. This is like how police officers were trained. This is how they're armed. This is the way America polices. You know, the fact that we have to get pulled over for a broken taillight. Like, isn't technology good enough? You can take a picture of what's the red light camera and get a ticket in the mail. Why not limit the contact police have with people in cars and just, you know, take a picture, take the license plate, send them a ticket in the mail the next week? You know, why even put yourself in a position where you might, you know, do something like that to a person, have that confrontation? I mean, I'm no criminal justice expert, but I think that's where it starts in how we police, and that kind of stuff comes from the top. That comes from the Department of Justice and the state's attorney general's office. And, you know, I was glad to see at least the DOJ is investigating the Alton Sterling murder, which happened first. And I haven't heard anything about Philando Castile, but the governor, he was from St. Paul, Minnesota. The governor in Minnesota at a press conference said, you know, would this have happened if he had been white? I don't think so.
Yeah, but I feel like I've heard that we've seen the videos, and yet no conviction, no conviction, no conviction. I guess it's just so frustrating.
The conviction, I mean, I don't even know if it's still happening just because people aren't getting convicted. I think it's happening because people are poorly trained. I was reading that CNN story. It was like, oh, the Alton murder. They were like, oh, one officer was a 3-year veteran, and the other one was a 4-year veteran of the police force. That's not a veteran.
Yeah.
3 years on the job, you're still a rookie.
Yeah, but in any job, like any year job. 3 of teaching, I was still like, so what do these kids need to learn again? That doesn't make you a veteran.
Yeah. And then, you know, my fiance's brother, my age, actually has been a police officer. He just graduated from the police academy in D.C. And I worry about him, too. You know, when you think about the police officers out there who are doing good work, or, you know, in after incidences like this, people might try and lash out at the first cop they see, and you worry about them, too. And it's just, that's why I'm saying, please, no violence, please, no, no physical violence. I don't think that's necessary.
Yeah, because I mean, Superman, honestly, he wanted to be a police officer. He like went, you know, did filled out all the paperwork, all, but he his past is a little bit too spotty.
Oh, we're just gonna call him, put him on blast like that.
He was a wild boy in his teens, and he was like, I didn't think that they were gonna look at all that. I was like, well, let's just be happy that you're in a good place right now.
Yeah, they might look at that.
Yeah. So I'm definitely not here to bash, you know, because that could have easily been, you know, Superman had it worked out for him. He really, really wanted to be a police officer.
It's a disservice to police, to these young men. These men, these police officers weren't that old either, and they're going to have to live with this for the rest of their life. And their training, I don't think that they may not, they're probably not evil people, you know? They probably just have terrible training. The fact that they would pull a weapon like that and shoot someone like that, they're poorly trained and, you know.
Well, I disagree about them being not evil people because I just saw a clip of it and I was like, so you have him down, you actually take the gun out, put it to his chest and pull it, and magically your body cam, oh, they fell out in the scuffle, and magically the video from the store is gone. Like, you know what I mean? Like, whatever. Like, yeah. I'm like, you know, poorly trained, yes, but also poor in character, yes, and integrity, yes. You killed somebody. And I haven't heard anybody own up and be like, you know what, I'm so sorry for, you know, none of these people. Even if you didn't think you were at fault, you still killed somebody. If I get into a car accident and I hit somebody's car, it's my fault. I'm still like, you know what, my bad. Like, honestly, I'm sorry. You know, let's figure out what the next steps is. You never hear that. You never hear the, regardless of what happened, someone's life it's been taken and their family will never be the same. And so to me, I'm just like, whatever. I mean, like, I don't even know what special place in hell there are for people who take someone's life and then show no remorse. But I hope wherever that is, they go there. That's just my two cents. Tiffany.
I guess that's where you say, let the Lord deal with them. If you believe in that. I don't know what I believe in. I do know that these police offices, police commissioners are elected. I think that in a lot of cases, it's not, you know, even if a person does want to apologize, they're probably being told, hey, don't admit fault, by their lawyer, by their bosses, by people who are elected above them. Don't admit fault because it makes us look bad.
Whatever.
There's so many different layers.
That's what I said. That's still an integrity issue because you're right. Maybe that's so, but ultimately you're a human being. And if you can't say, I'm not saying that if you don't feel you're at fault, but still someone is dead. Like when I saw that 15-year-old boy break down, his life will never, ever, ever be the same. He will always know that his father's death has been recorded for the world to watch over and over again. How is he supposed to, like, what does life look like for him in 10, 15 years? How is he supposed to move on and be like, okay, like, I can have a normal childhood and normal adulthood? How, when I can watch my father's death at any moment in time on YouTube? I don't even know, like, what do you do with that? You know how sometimes something so tragic happens and you can't even process? How can someone process that and move on to live a productive life? How? You know? And so, ultimately, I think people, you know what it is? I just think people are disconnected and that they don't, it's like you're not connected to people who are not like you, you know? And
yeah, if you don't have a black father or a black brother or a black friend, it's hard. Mm-hmm. It's the same reason we don't care when, you know, there was just an article about all these bombings and violence in Baghdad over the last week, 300 deaths, something like that. And no one's changing their profile picture. No one's, you know, saying, sharing their sympathy for the victims. And that, I think that's another issue is if you don't have people who are there or skin in the game, then you won't care. And that's another sad. I think that's another sad symptom of just not having a diverse enough network, social circle, staying where you're comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So I think I am. I think I know what my brown break is.
Well, I'll tell you what I did today that made me feel a teeny weensy bit better.
Okay.
I followed the hashtag #CarefreeBlackKids2K16.
Okay.
Have you followed this hashtag? It's literally just nothing but vines of like happy black children doing things like singing Sound of Music and doing cartwheels and dancing and like little cute kids with pigtails. I don't know. I felt a little bit better after seeing that.
Okay. I'm going to look at that because I'm like, okay, I need, you know, that would be great to be able to just watch. Because that's the one thing I used to always say that like would always make me like just always kind of get on my nerves when people reported like from places that were considered dangerous or like, you know, from a Newark or an Oakland or a Detroit, that all they ever showed was the bad side. And I would always think to myself, especially since I was working in Newark, like they would be like, you know, a shooting maybe the day before, but yet me and the kids would go out and go to the park and they'd be giggling and laughing. And I would always think to myself, you know, that despite the fact that there is this ugliness going on, there's always beauty still happening simultaneously. And I wish that there would be a spotlight on that, because they would always bring me so much joy. Like no matter what was going on in the city of Newark, I found that, you know, still the next day the kids would go out, we'd go to the park, you know, they eat their little graham crackers, they would call me Miss Tiffany and give me hugs and kisses, and we would like enjoy life at that moment. And I think that maybe that's what be, you know, I was going to take a brown break, but maybe I'll do a brown boost instead.
All right, BA fam, y'all know when it comes to financial advice, you have to trust your source. That's why you listen to Brown Ambition, right? And when I'm looking to upgrade my wallet, I turn to NerdWallet. Their expert team of nerds dives into the details to help you find smarter financial products. I've been a longtime fan of NerdWallet. In fact, I almost work there a couple of times, because when it comes to financial experts and writing, they really know how to give you the best reviews of financial products. I honestly wouldn't sign up for a credit card today if I hadn't looked at a review on a site like NerdWallet myself. And honestly, if y'all haven't learned about NerdWallet, you're missing out. And with their help, what could future you do with more travel rewards? A hotel upgrade? Lounge access? Wherever you go next, make it happen with a smarter travel credit card. Don't wait to make smart financial decisions. Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. As with all cards, credit is subject to lender approval and terms of each credit card issuer apply.
Well, okay, you want to go on and do the brown break and brown boost?
Mm-hmm. So definitely I'm just going to take a brown break from social media just because it's a lot right now. Like, there's no joy there. So I just need a break from that. But definitely a brown boost to that new hashtag. I think that just like watching carefree Black kids be free and fun and laugh and smile and have a good time, I think that I want a little bit of a boost of that. So that's my brown break and my brown boost.
Well, I'm going to do a triple dose of happiness for brown boost today, because I feel like we need it. If ever there were a day for a triple dose, today's the day. So one is that my fave, I saw you posted this before I could on our Facebook page, but Issa Rae actually raised in like less than a day, maybe a matter of hours, over $200,000 for the children of Alton Sterling to go to college.
Mm.
So that's amazing. Someone using their power for good. That's one. Two is that I saw Hamilton last week.
How was it?
It was life-changing. Like, I sort of feel like, I don't know how to describe it. I'm going to sound insane. I've been trying to describe it to everybody, and all I do is sound like a crazy person and obsessed, and I just need to, like, tone it down a little bit, I think. But it was the greatest thing I've ever seen. Like, I took fiance for his birthday, and I literally purchased these tickets 9 months ago, like last September. No, more than nine, almost 10 months ago. I purchased these tickets because they were all sold out till January, and everyone's acting like I must have like shot somebody or murdered somebody to get these. No, I bought them nearly a year ago, and everybody in that audience, you can just tell they were so grateful to be there. And when all those actors, because this was the last 2 weeks of shows before three of the primary cast members, including the main star of it, Lin-Manuel Miranda, they leave the show. So they were taping the play for, I think, to air on PBS or something like that. So everyone was there, all the original cast.
Ooh.
And when I've never heard a Broadway audience, like I go to a Broadway plays a lot, but I've never heard an audience like scream, like laugh. It was like being at, it might have been like being at that New Edition concert, like seeing your favorite band on stage, and like people are going to like a Beyonce show. Like they were all Beyonce up there, and it was just, I've never seen it. I mean, I went to Color Purple, but like, how often do you see a cast that is that diverse? Like like Latino, Asian, Black, and white too, and gay and straight, and like the fact that they could make history through hip hop, one of like a masterpiece. Like I'm listening, the soundtrack is 46 songs long. All of them could be on the radio, all of them, and they will be because Questlove and the Roots are producing like an album based on the cast album.
Awesome. But,
oh, it was just so good. And like, and my fiance, he was like, half the time he was just watching me watch the play because my mouth was hanging open. Like.
Well, somebody tweeted me a question.
Oh, what is it?
It's just a simple question. She said, hey, at the Budgetista, do you think it's a good idea to refinance my car loan?
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. Okay. We'll set it up and we'll do that as a question.
Okay.
All right. Do we have any questions today?
Yes. We were tweeted a question and someone asked if we thought it was a good idea for her to refinance her car loan. She didn't, you know, it's a tweet, so you can only give but so much information, but I'm assuming it's because her payments are too high.
You know, that's a real issue. I was just doing a whole story for this for Magnify Money, where I write now, about subprime auto loans, like how easy it is to get, you know, these like no credit, bad credit. Mm-hmm. Anyone can get a car loan, and then they talk you into getting these crazy expensive car loans that you don't think is crazy because they're like, oh, well, your monthly payment's only like $200. But what you don't realize is that not only is your interest rate incredibly high, like over 15%, sometimes even more than 25%, but that the only way they're getting a monthly payment so low is because they're making your loan even longer, like giving you even longer to pay off your loan. So instead of having like a 3-year car loan, they're giving you like a 5, 6, 7-year car loan.
And then sometimes too, this happened to a few of my dream catchers, they finally did get the money together and there's a prepayment. They're not allowed to prepay. Like one woman actually was sending in extra payments and noticed that her principal wasn't going down. She called them. They're like, oh yeah, we just been putting it toward the interest because you can't prepay. So basically they just been keeping her extra money. Can you imagine?
Wow.
And she was like,
criminal.
I know. And I was like, wait, what? She was like, I don't even know what to do. I've been prepaying for 3 months thinking like I'm doing a good thing. And basically they pocketed my money.
You know, the CFPB, the regulator for financial institutions, banks, credit card companies, stuff like that. They've been trying really hard to regulate the auto loan industry. They have been unsuccessful because I didn't realize this until I started doing this story, but like, do you know how powerful car dealers are? Like car dealers, like your local car dealer in your neighborhood, they're like more politically powerful than sometimes legislators. Like they're the personal, like they're the mini NRA of different states. So
really?
Yeah. And so they've influenced policy. I was looking over the auto dealer industry has donated over, like one single auto dealer from Florida, okay, donated $7 million to political candidates this year through the election. This happened to also be just a year after the CFPB failed to get the power to regulate auto lenders too. And it's because these dealers have so much influence over their local politicians.
That is insane and scary. So what say you about advice for her? I say, yes, you can definitely refinance your car loan. I always say, you know, when you're looking to buy, that you should try your best to bring your own financing with you.
Yes.
You know,
people
like,
don't do that.
I know. You don't realize it, but like you can go to your credit union or even your bank, especially if you have decent credit, and work out. I think this is what Superman did. You know, he has a really low at the time when he had a car payment, but he got his financing from his credit union. It was super low, single digit, and he was able to go to the car dealership and say, no, you know, I have the money. I'm here just for the car.
Right. People don't shop around enough. And you know, when you go to a dealer and they're taking you to their financing office, you should know that those financing people, Like, it's in their interest to sell you loans that they get the biggest kickback from.
Mm-hmm.
So when they shop around, they're like, oh, yeah, Capital One is great. You know, we'll get you set up with them. They'll approve you. They're getting a kickback from Capital One, or not just to call out them, but any bank, most banks that they work with, for bringing them business, for bringing you to the bank. Like, the bank is actually kicking them back a little cash on the side.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they get a cut of the interest rate that they give you. So they are incentivized to give you a higher interest rate. There's like a million reasons why it's better. You're better off shopping for your loan on your own. But even like I've heard from people that even if you shop around, you still get there and they try and bully you into all kinds of extra stuff.
Like I'm actually in the search for a car now. So I was like, okay, my 99 Toyota Camry, she has done me well, but it is time to retire her at least for like regular everyday use. So I was gonna, I've been saving honestly, because I've had the Camry forever. So I have like a good chunk of money. Honestly, my budget is about $20,000, like cash. And because I've been saving and saving for the last 3 or 4 years, knowing that the next car, I didn't want a hoopty finally. I was like, all right, Tiffany, you know, you work hard, you've done well, you saved. We're not gonna get a hoopty, but at the same time, I'm not gonna get a car loan.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saved and I said, plus two, I'll buy the car for my business, because I'll keep my hoopty for personal use and get the car for my business so I can write it off as a, you know, as a tax write-off for my business, a budgetista. And you should see their faces so disappointed. Like, first, me and Superman would come in. One, you know, I could tell they thought, like, oh, they don't have any money, because, you know, like, we're Black and we're young. And so just even getting someone, there were some dealerships that were really great about coming up to us and asking us questions and, you know, and some dealerships that kind of just, like, eyes glazed over, like, they don't have any money. And, you know, when I would go and talk about, like, you know, they're like, oh, what's your budget? And, you know, I would tell them, you know, well, let's see the cars first. And then when it got down to talking business and they were like, oh, you know, we have great financing, I would just be like, it felt so good to say, I'll actually be paying cash. Well, cashier's check. And they're like, wait, what? And Superman said, that's my favorite part, Tiffany. I couldn't wait till we get to those parts. And they're like, what? I'm like, yes, it's for my business. So I'll be paying via cashier's check. So again, you don't understand how many times they were like, wait, I'm not quite understanding. I'm like, no, I won't be doing any financing. I'll be paying just straight cash.
Money, honey.
And then that's when they're like, well, what do you do again?
You should have brought in a briefcase.
I know. I teach financial education. So what you're not going to do, I'm like the quickest one at Target, at the Gap, when the women are trying to like, or the cashier is trying to get you to sign up for like a credit card. And I'm like, no. They're like, you don't want to save? And I'm like, honestly, my sister's like, oh boy, here we go. Cause they know I'm about to put the budget on them. I'm like, every time somebody signs up for these, you know, you really are helping to lower their credit score. Sometimes the women behind the counter, the cashier, whoever, is actually really surprised and grateful that I shared that with them. And sometimes they're like, girl, yes or no?
I was that girl at the Gap. Because you get rewarded for how many credit cards you sign up. That's a whole other conversation.
Yes, but yeah. It's crazy. No, but yeah, so I'd say like, yeah, so refinancing definitely. Looking, you know.
Magnify actually has a cool tool. A little plug for my new job. You know they're good. Magnify, if you want to compare loans, like they're like have some of the best tools out there.
Yes,
and they're free to use, which is even awesome. Better.
And what I love about Magnify Money, everybody's like, Tiffany, like, do they pay you? They don't. I just really love their website because, one, it's just great for comparison of all these different financial products and services. Two, the language is so easy to understand. You're not like, wait, what does that mean? Like, they're just like, it's just plain spoken English. So you get it. You know, everyone who I send there is like, oh my God, I love this website. I'm like, I know, because it's just, it's a great website that you can use to find resources and you can actually understand what they mean and you don't have to like Google, like, what does that word mean? So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, yes, I'll take credit for all that.
And one last little thing, not about Magnify Money. You've heard of the TransUnion had that glitch. Have you seen?
No, I did not.
Yes. So, I mean, the only reason why I know is because my Dreamcatchers were going crazy for the last few days. So TransUnion apparently had either a nationwide or a worldwide glitch where everyone's credit score was deleted. Everything was taken off of their TransUnion. Yes, for whatever reason. But then they put it back on. But apparently, there's a law that states that once you take something off of a credit score, you're not allowed to put it back on without written notice.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So they get a free credit cleanup?
Basically, it's like the FCRA Section 611, like the don't ask me what FCRA stands for. But anyway, so all of my dream catchers have been calling TransUnion and basically being like, nah, 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 don't put that back on. Not my negative stuff. But the thing is, I mean, yes, it's great that you'll be able to clean up your TransUnion score. But if they mail you within 5 days of reinserting, they can actually add the deletions back on. Yeah. Also, it's not going to affect the other two credit reports. Like, it's not like it's across the board. Like, everyone is going to be removing these negative stuff, things off your credit report. And it just because the line item is gone, like, girl, you still, oh, the account is still there.
Oh, of course. Yeah. I
know. And honestly, you likely won't see a huge jump in your credit score. Some people did see a jump. A woman was like, oh, my credit score went up 50 points, but that's just for TransUnion. So what if the car dealership uses Equifax? Then it's not going to affect. So I'm not saying you
should. I'm surprised people's scores, couldn't your score also go down if they remove some of your older credit history?
This is possible too. I haven't seen that. That's what has happened, but it was like a huge, like everyone was talking about it in the group. So I had to do a little bit of research, like what happened? So yeah, apparently, I don't know, this glitch just erased everybody's credit reports. And they're basically like, no, no, don't put that old stuff back on. But like I said, ultimately, it doesn't affect all the other credit reports that you have. So, you know, I'm not saying you shouldn't fight to keep those negative inquiries off your or those negative things off your credit report, your TransUnion credit report. But just know that it might not make a big of a difference as you think.
Yeah. Pay your bills.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to make the biggest difference. Pay your bills and actively work toward like restoring your credit by paying your bills on time, keeping your utilization of your credit cards low, and like not opening up new credit cards right away.
Yeah. So we could do a whole episode. I think we're due for a nice credit score episode. People are obsessed.
Yes. What is the obsession with credit score?
Not even just, I mean, there's a reason to be obsessed with it, but I mean, it's just people who have bad credit and want to know how to get out of it. You know, those are the people who end up with these bad auto loans. And one thing I'll say, just getting back to her question real quick, is when you refinance an auto loan, which you already have poor credit to begin with, you know, it's kind of an issue. You really got to work on your credit, because to get refinanced, that just means taking out another loan. That means finding a lender who is willing to lend to you. And if your credit's poor, that can be difficult. So some of the advice that is maybe not so good to hear, it's not like a get out of debt quick advice. It is clean up your credit as much as you can, you know, sell whatever you can, sell the car if you have to, if you're bleeding money, especially if what's happening. Sometimes I was just talking to a woman from Georgia, actually, whose car she refinanced. This is another thing you can do. So sometimes they'll be like, oh, so, you know, you want to refinance? Well, we'll give you a new loan for a new car and we can roll over your old loan into that.
Mm-hmm.
You're basically adding on your old loan onto the new loan. So your loan is even bigger than it was before.
Yep. So you're
isn't always helping you.
Exactly. So you're paying for two cars, but only have one.
Yeah, basically. And that just means, and you probably, that makes immediately the car you have worth less than what you owe on the loan, which doesn't make any sense, obviously.
Yeah.
But I'm going to post a link on our blog. We just did a story, how to get out from under a bad car loan. And
I saw that
there. Yes.
Was that you?
Well, I didn't write it, but I assigned it. So
that's. Oh, look, excuse me. Excuse me. Yes. Sips my pinky up.
Well, that's my job. I'm an editor now, so I get to assign the different stories. So, hey, if you guys have story ideas, you want questions answered, go to magnifymoney.com. I swear they have answers to like everything. And if they don't, let me know and we will get those answers for you.
Awesome.
Yep.
So we should end with some wins, although I'm struggling to decide what a win should be.
Ooh, I have a quick one.
Okay.
There was actually, I said I was going to do three boosts, but I forgot one. So here's a third.
Okay.
Do you know Leslie Jones from SNL?
Yes, yes. Uh-huh.
Did you hear? So she is like, first of all, she's hilarious. I don't know. Her sense of humor isn't for everybody. She's kind of like loud and sassy. And some people say that she's not doing any favors for black women by being like a stereotype. But I don't care. She's on TV and that's amazing. But she's in a movie with she's starring in Ghostbusters, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talked about this before, like how everyone was saying how in Ghostbusters she's like stereotypical. Like, why is the one black actress got to be the MTA worker and like have all, you know, from the hood or whatever. But so she tweeted that she's going to the premiere of Ghostbusters, and she's not, like, none of these designers want to design dresses for her.
Mm.
And immediately, who comes to the rescue but my favorite, Christian Siriano.
Oh, I love him.
Don't you? I feel like he has done more for black women in fashion than, like, I can't even think of anyone else. So Christian Siriano, if you don't know, so he was on Project Runway back when I used to watch it.
Yep, Slade.
Slade was amazing. This, like, pint-sized little nugget. And he's, and he's gone on to dress everybody. He's on all the red carpets. He's a huge brand. And he does not have to go out of his way to help women who are different sizes. He could dress all the models he wants to.
Mm-hmm.
But he has dressed the entire cast of Orange is the New Black. That's mm-hmm. become like his little muse lately. And all those women are different sizes, mostly minority women. And not only that, but Danielle Brooks, who is from Orange is the New Black, she became the face of his plus size line for Lane Bryant, which just debuted this year.
Love it.
So anyway, Krista, so I saw her tweet on Twitter that no one would make her a dress. And immediately I tweeted at her and Christian Siriano, and I was like, please make this happen. And Christian Siriano favorited my tweet.
I'm not Shut say, up.
Oh, yeah, he did. Now, I'm not going to say.
Yo, honestly, this is everything.
I'm not going to say that I made this happen.
You did.
But a day later, they Instagrammed a post together, and she's shopping in his store. Or not shopping, but she's there in his store getting – he's designing a dress for her now.
No, you made it happen. Let's all give Mandy – I'm not even going to do a win. I think that's a win for everyone. That's just like a round of applause because – like, that's just honestly, that is so awesome. That is the power of positive social media at work, ladies and gentlemen. Yes. Tweeting and connecting folks. Like, I knew I loved him when I saw, I don't know if it was his best friend or his sister, that she was getting married and she's plus size, and he made her a beautiful wedding dress. And I was like, I love you. Oh. And
Nicolette Mason?
I'm not sure. Is that his friend?
Yes. I saw that on Instagram too. Yeah. She's like a plus size, like a blog. I think she's a, she works for a magazine. I forget now. But anyway, she's cool. She's great to follow. She's a columnist at Marie Claire. That's what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, plus size. Oh, I loved her wedding dress. It was like gold and sparkly.
Yes, so beautiful. And I'm just like, oh, look at this. The feels. Yes, for both. Oh, look at you, Mandy. See, you get virtual hugs.
I just feel like, plus size women should not have to feel like there's nothing for them. You know, people should make things for us too, because our bodies are – our bodies, they're normal, they're not crazy. And I just love Christian Siriano for being aware of that, whereas a lot of designers are not.
Yeah. So,
if you're listening, Christian, thank you on behalf of all women with curves.
Yes, that's awesome.
All right, you can top that now.
No, I can't. So on that note, we are just going to close that.
You topped it with your Essence Fest wonderment.
No, we're just going to end on that note. And oh yeah, so if you have any financial questions, you could send them to
brownambitionpodcast@gmail.com.
Or you could tweet us at the BA Podcast or Facebook us at Brown Ambition on Facebook. We look forward to connecting with you. If you have the feels about kind of how this episode went, we'd love to hear you tweet us, share with us. Maybe you have a story that you kind of want to share as far as like, you know, kind of like the sadness that's going on. And you know what I really would love? What brings you to your happy space? Like if, you know, like how Mandy said that hashtag, Carefree Black Kids 2016 kind of gives her like the smile. So what gives you the smiles and gets you to a happy space when things are not quite so happy? I'd love, love, love to like know what that is. So you can tweet us at the BA Podcast or me at the Budgetnista or Mandy. Are you Mandy Money or Mandy?
I am at Mandy Woodruff.
Okay, at Mandy with an I.
I hope that they say Brown Ambition helps them.
Yes.
We hope we bring a little bit of joy to your lives.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.